It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. I am your host for the week, Jake Roos, alongside, as always, Jim Donnan. No Roddy this week. He can't hang with the big dogs. I notice I go out of town on vacation and Roddy decides, oh, we'll take a vacation from the podcast. I come back and he goes out of town.
Yeah, we had a DQ last week. Roddy had a little medical issue or something. I don't know what happened, but we missed you, and I'm glad you had a good trip. I mean, we'll just try to make it happen here. Roddy is out on the was he out there with Rivals getting ready for this big challenge?
Yeah. We got the five-star challenge coming up starting tomorrow and Thursday. It'll be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so we're really looking forward to kicking that off and getting a lot of the top players in the nation out there. I know we got some Georgia commits out there. Jaden Hazelwood's taking part, as well as Jalen Perry. I know that he was another one who jumped off. And Xavier Truss, one of the more recent commits, will be out there as well.
So. Yeah, that was cool about getting Xavier Truss. I remember when you and I were talking about Coach Pittman in the spring, you know, going around these different places. And the day before he actually went up to Minnesota to be at that what's that guy that got drafted out of Arkansas?
Ragnow. Yeah.
He actually was in West Virginia seeing those two, you know, Nestor and Darnell Wright. And then he was telling me he was going up to see this big kid in Rhode Island. I said, Rhode Island? He said, yeah. And, hey, it worked out good.
Yeah. It worked out. I'll tell you what, he's done well up in Rhode Island. Yeah. You brought Catalina down there from Rhode Island. And this kid, you know, not a hotbed for him, but if there's anybody on the staff right now having more success than Sam Pittman, I don't know who it is.
In the nation, really. He's really doing a tremendous job. And, of course, Kirby's the point man there. You know, when these guys come in, he does a terrific job. And I think Coach Chaney has a good feel for that, too, having had a little pro background. You know, when he talks to these kids, he talks to them in terms of just like every coach would talk to a guy about projecting you. And they show you these things about, hey, right now this is where you would project in most programs going to the pros. You know, you might say a guy's a six-rounder. But if you come in here and play in our system and play for us and drill you and we train you in our system, which doesn't use a lot of RPOs, gives you a chance to use a pass pro stat and all that, then, you know, you can maybe be a second or first rounder. And I tell you, that gets kids' attention. I think it's a good plan. I mean, they did that with that Nestor kid, and it was. But the bulletin one that I want to give that we missed out on last week that I couldn't give these fans out here.
Wait, I'm going to hold you off on that because I do want to shout out our sponsors.
Oh, hey, we better get the sponsors going.
Yeah, we got a.
Of course, we're Champions, which fired up here right off the bat.
So we got. We got Coach ready to drop a ton of knowledge on you this week. I know he's loaded up. I'm ready to talk about not only Trust but Plumlee, a huge pickup for the Bulldogs.
Like Plumlee.
But we do want to shout out all of our great sponsors. We're here at Champy's Chicken. As always, you can catch us here at noon on Tuesdays. Come by, have some lunch with us. We're going to have a chicken meld out here soon. It's the best sandwich in Athens for my money. I really think that I hold that true. Also want to shout out our friends at Academia. We'll read you the specials later on. They got some great stuff going on for the World Cup. Get out there, watch some soccer with those guys. Have a couple of pints. They're going to have some menu-specific items to go for it, and people will enjoy that as well. Athens Ford, we got to shout those guys out. A huge sponsor not only of our podcast but also of UGASports.com. They help make it all happen, and we really appreciate them for doing it. Also, our friends over at Cable East, Robert Wall and the guys out in Statham. You can't really buy anything, but you might run into him. Make sure you say hey if you do, and definitely want to shout out 365 Game Day. Go there, get all your gear. 11 Alive for having us on the page today, as always. And we've got our friends over at EuroPie. If you're not swinging by Champy's for lunch, you're not going to Academia to get a cold one and watch the World Cup, hey, go over to EuroPie, get a quick pie. You can get in there, get out, 10 minutes. You got something great for yourself, and you're going to be the envy of the office with that. So
that's pretty good. A good entree there. You got it going good.
But, yeah, so, Coach, I wanted to hop in right off the bat. Obviously, we missed last week, and a lot of things happened. It's been surprisingly busy for the summer. Freshmen
showed up. We got a couple good recruits that you can talk about, Truss and Plumlee, but – you know, I had a chance to go over there to the Kirby Smart camp, and there's several different ones, but the one that I went to where, you know, had the prospects in, and because this Nestor kid from up in West Virginia was in, and his coach, as we've talked about before, his line coach is Aaron Ferguson, and got a chance to see him work out one-on-one and see all that. But when you're there like that, then you have access, if you're pretty smart, to looking around. You can see the kids working out. A lot of our players are working out individually, and, you know, they have a group run and all. But, hey, Jay Hayes, come on. Hey, as soon as I saw that kid, I said, is that Jay Hayes? And one of the guys said, yeah. I said, yes, sir. And that's the way Pittman said it. But you talk about what the doctor ordered, prototype kid. And had a chance to just be around him a little bit. He's really fit in well with the team. He's a yes sir, no sir guy, a really good team guy. On top of being what we need, the guy can run now, Jake.
Yeah,
can really run. Saw him out there. And that's one thing that I feel pretty good about is, even though I'm 73 years old, I mean, I got a good feel for guys, and you know. He's going to be able to fit in our system and move in there and give us some really added depth, first-line type player that's playing a lot of big games. But you just can't talk about speed unless you see a guy run. And when I saw him run, I was just wanted to share with all the people that watch us here that's a really big plus for us.
I'm gonna
have him here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you're looking for depth on that defensive line. There's no doubt. You know, in fact, it would be probably even better if you had it for next year. But hey, they'll take all they can this year. You can never have enough guys down there in the trenches. Coach, just real quick on the eye test. Notre Dame listed him at 6'3", 5'8", and 289. You think that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, I asked one of the strength guys, I said, how much does he weigh right now? He said around 295, which, you know, I don't know if that's how accurate that is. I mean, we probably weighed him in. But, you know, I don't want to go overboard here, but I just want to make sure that we continue to stress how important it is to accentuate your squad between spring practice and fall camp, whether it's with graduate transfers, junior college guys, freshmen, you know, that have come in. And along those lines, I had a chance to just get a little sneak peek on a couple of those guys running too, and a guy that just gets your attention right away, a couple of them, Quay Walker and Reese. I mean, Reese is running with the defensive backs, but he's got really long arms. Quay Walker is playing a little bit. I think he's going to probably start out an inside backer because we got so many outside guys. But he looks like he weighs about 210. He's 248. And then Channy Tindall can absolutely smoke.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt. Talk about a guy first 20 yards, and that's what you got to have as a linebacker. He can really accelerate. So Tyson Campbell and those four on defense – and then Luke Ford and gets your attention, just big old kid. It can really run. And we've talked about the other guys, freshmen, but Sawyer looks good too. But overall, it's just an outstanding-looking team on the hoof. I mean, as an ex-coach, whether you're coaching Georgia or Oklahoma or Alabama or anywhere, if you walked out and saw that team on the hoof, you'd feel pretty good about how it is, you know, the middle of June here. We got a lot of ways to go, but not a bunch of fat turds out there, just a lot of good-looking kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's encouraging to hear because, like you said, you really haven't even gotten into fall camp. You're really – this is conditioning season. This is when the kids are getting their bodies right. So to hear that they're already in a good position, most of them, that's got to be reassuring.
Yeah, and I can't really say – definitively, because I don't get to watch them, like, you know, that's not my deal. I don't want to do that.
Sure.
And I would never say anything that I saw on this show to and because I wouldn't want to do that to Kirby, but I don't have that. I don't really like to go over there, but it just so happened that that day I happened to be there and got to see him live, you know, and then it was just very – and I'm sharing this with the fans because, you know, I want them to know that we got a good-looking team on the hoof. But the thing that we're able to do there, though, is with the summer rules like they are now, Jake, you can meet with these guys. You can install stuff. They can go out there and have, you know, the leadership people like Fromm and those other guys can put them through drills and do 7-on-7 and all that. And, you know, just some of them don't know as many coverages and all that. But the idea is by the time August 4th or 5th, whenever we start, they will have had a good indoctrination of 2 months of learning what to do. And the other thing, before I forget it, and then we'll get to it, is I had a chance to go in the training room and see Roquan and Bellamy, and both of them are back from their camps. And just had a really good talk with Roquan, and the one thing that he said, and I will also say that Bellamy brought out, was how much the carryover from what he had learned from Kirby and Mel Tucker's system going up to the pros, how far along he was as far as knowledge of assignment, you know, as far as what they're asking for him to do up there. He's done a lot of that here, you know, and he really felt good about, obviously he's got the talent and the skill and everything, but the mental part, he said, you know, hey, it was just like I was in the same meetings and all. And I feel like that's one thing we've tried to portray to everybody, and I think our staff has done to these recruits. We'll get you ready for the league here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then – Bellamy, who, you know, a little bit down about not getting drafted, but he's with in a good group there with Houston, and he was talking about that he is in a system there with Romeo Crennel as the defensive coordinator. He was the head coach of Cleveland when Mel Tucker was a secondary coach. So a lot of the jargon, a lot of the talk, the way they call things are very similar. So he had a pretty good jump start on that. And he said he's over there playing the same place Clowney's playing. He's getting a chance to just be a pass rusher, you know, outside guy, and he feels pretty good about it. So I hope he can make it. But, again, he's got an advantage going in there knowing, you know, what the pros, how they call things and all that. So that's exciting to see that.
Yeah, that's got to be encouraging. I mean, like you said, when you're out here selling that to recruits and you're able to bring quotes in from a guy like Roquan Smith who goes in the first round of the NFL draft, you're thinking, you know, expectations couldn't be higher for the guy. And for him to say, hey, feels like the same thing to me.
Right.
That's huge, right? Level. That's pro ball level. So,
and he's such as, I mean, I know all of us are proud of him, Dick Butkus Award, all that, but hey, that guy, he didn't have to spend 5 minutes with me. He sat down and talked, and he was very, you know, I mean, very engaging. I mean, just the way this guy's got a tremendous future ahead of him. Good people guy, and you can see the leadership just coming right out from under him. I mean, just really got everything, and should make all the Georgia Bulldog people proud here to know we got guys like that representing us.
And for my money, I think the first great ambassador of the Kirby Smart era of Georgia football. I think.
Well, you got him, and you got Nick, and you got
sure,
you're going to have
Win, and
you're going to have
yeah,
all those guys.
Absolutely,
it was nice to see Sony putting those two. Giving his mom and dad a car and a truck. That was good. They need to come over here and bring one to the old coach here.
Yeah, they need to get over to Athens Ford and get us hooked up with a couple of those F-150s.
Some of the guys that I talk to in the pros that do these pro shows and all, I ask them once in a while, they said that he has had a profound impact on their camp and their OTAs just because he's what they doctor ordered, because he can be an every down back, but he's so good out of the backfield. And you know, with all the guys they got, to have a guy like that can catch the ball is so supreme in that offense. So
absolutely.
And you know, Wynn, I don't know if he's gonna play guard or tackle, but we have four guys go in the first 45 guys, so that's pretty good.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I think that only continues to pay dividends for Georgia. You know, you thought the draft was the high point. It's the summer. It keeps going, and the news keeps getting better for those guys, which inadvertently trickles over to Georgia. You know, you mentioned we're talking a little bit about the recruits and that kind of thing. Two big pickups since we were last on air. That's Xavier Truss, who we kind of let off the show talking about. Definitely want to make sure I get his measurements exact, so give me a sec to look those up. But the other one was John Reese Plumley. And if you've been following the show or you've been following the message boards over at UGASports.com, this is a guy that you're familiar with. This is a guy, you'll know his name. Plumley, dual-threat quarterback, 6 foot tall, 190 pounds. Not the biggest guy in the world, but, hey, Stetson Bennett wasn't either, right. And he made quite an impact at Georgia. Looks like he's going to go play junior college ball and find himself a good home at the next level. Plumley going to come to Georgia, play some baseball as well as some football, and really loved the opportunity that Georgia was going to give him to play quarterback. That's right. What he wanted to do, and that's what they're going to give him the shot to do.
Well, if you look at the tape on him, when you hear dual-threat quarterback, you think of a guy that's a passer that can really run. And get out of situations, you know. But this guy makes a lot of long runs and a lot of physical runs. I watched the tape on him, and they run a lot of predetermined stuff where he just keeps the ball. And he's very adept at using his blockers. He's good in space. He reminds you of a running back, the way he can use that. And he's a very accurate quarterback. So just good to have him. And then certainly Truss. The one thing that sticks out about this guy, he's a big guy for sure, massive looking, but he's got pro feet. You can just tell right now. Ray Charles could tell right now. He's got the kind of feet you got to have to be a difference maker like Thomas. You know, I mean, a guy that you know, you just watch him and say, hey, this guy's got the kind of feet we got to have to go with his size. Now, usually some of those guys are lumbering and can't really run as well, but overwhelming, the thing that he has, maybe even a little bit more than Wilson had coming out of high school, is the footwork.
Yeah.
Would you agree? You watch
it? No, absolutely, yeah. I think that he's very solid in his footwork, and he's so powerful, too. Right. I mean, we talk about, you know, I think when, for example, a kid like Ben Cleveland, when he arrived in Athens, I don't really think he knew how to use that body. He was so right. used to going against guys in high school and just being able to outman them. Right. This kid uses technique in addition to that size, and that's something that takes time to develop. So if you can find a guy who's kind of prepackaged with that, that's all the better. And so I know Sam Pittman loves those guys. Truss told me, you know, the thing that sold me on Georgia, the thing that I love about what Coach Pittman said is, look, you come here, you compete, you're going to be against the best, and if you win out of this group, there's no reason to think that the sky's the limit for you. You know, he says that – it's the opportunity to compete with the talent that Georgia's already brought in on the offensive line seems like a huge, huge lure for him, and that's got to be good news.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I feel like that is what we tried to do in recruiting where I was, your best salesmen are your own players because they're going to tell you how it is, you know, and they're gonna say, hey, this guy, whatever he tells you, that's the way it is, or, hey, this guy speaks out of both sides of his mouth. They'll tell you anything to get you here, but the really great thing about this offensive line group that we have right now, they're really sold on the group as a whole and help each other out, but they're sold on what Coach Pittman's doing for them, and they do a really good job of promoting the program to these recruits. I know this Nestor kid that was here had a chance to spend some time with some of these linemen, these young linemen, and they told him, hey, we know you're looking at Ohio State, all that stuff, but, hey, you know, what you see is what you get here. These guys here are going to train you, and you know, they like the – he likes the fact that we don't run all those RPOs that they do up there and all that. So I don't know if we'll get him or not, but I do feel good about the way our players, and I think that had a big impact from reading your stuff about Truss. He felt good about he could fit in with these guys because if you all of a sudden are making that kind of move from
absolutely.
From Rhode Island to Georgia – there's a little bit of difference in culture and agriculture. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's a big change. And so you got to feel good about the surroundings. You know what I mean? I mean, facilities are one thing, but people are the other. And I think the people business that we're in here is good.
Yeah, and, you know, with the success that they've had, you know, I'm not saying either that Sam Pittman's an old guy by any means, but you got to think that he's – moved around quite a bit. He looks like he's got some solidity here. He's right. feeling good about this staff. He's obviously put together some incredible recruiting classes. So, you know, the stability with the coaching staff, also a huge plus. Kirby Smart obviously picked up the big extension on his contract, so that seems to bode well for everybody, too. Yeah, I think that Truss was a massive pickup for him. I think that, yeah, like I said, 6'7", 341, 134 in the nation, and he's rising. We're going to see him at the five-star challenge.
Right.
He's going to have a chance to boost that ranking even further, and it won't surprise me if he does.
So who right now is on the verge of doing something that we're interested in?
Well, it's a little tough. I mean, it's –
By that, I mean
– Yeah.
Jumping in the fray and committing.
Yeah, you know, so probably the main guy that I'm watching for the next couple of weeks is going to be Josh Harris, defensive tackle out of Roxboro, North Carolina, a kid that has had Georgia, you know, among his top schools for a long time. They were one of the first programs to offer him. They got in early, and they're pushing hard. But I know that, you know, programs such as NC State, UNC, you know, there's a big lure, and obviously NC State had some great success pulling C.J. Clark's
yeah.
commitment. So
one of the things I would point out about that and about some of these early commitments and some of these guys that maybe we have lost that people are worried about, which it always worries you a little bit. But the early signing period, some of these guys commit and we're not ready for them to commit.
Right.
But I'm not speaking for Kirby or anybody
sure,
else.
Sure.
But I think some of these guys that have committed to other schools wanted to know, hey, we take it now, and I don't think that we would have taken some of these guys. We can maybe go back on them in December if we don't get some of these higher-rated guys. So you got to give us a little credit for maybe being a little patient there from that standpoint. Of course, you watch recruiting.
Absolutely.
But I would say Truss is a tremendous example of a four rising, maybe a five-star guy that's outside our perimeter here that we maybe some of these linemen that have signed into state that would have definitely committed to Georgia, but you're holding out when you're only taking three linemen for him. Now, I know D lineman is a big deal here, and we got to get Devontae Walker and all that. I mean, what's the guy's
Trevon
name?
Walker.
We already got Devontae.
Devontae Wyatt.
Wyatt.
There you go.
But I just think that D line wise, we're after some really good players, and we got to get some, but. Man, oh, man, you just look out there and see Cox and Adamson and Devontae Walker. And at one position, you know, a defensive, those outside backer group, I mean, make my mouth water. I mean, seriously. And then that doesn't even include Patrick and, you know, just some really – and Grant. Grant
yeah.
looks
oh,
good.
Absolutely.
They got a walk-on kid with that group, it looks like. I said, who is that guy? I mean, I couldn't even believe him. He looks like – I guarantee you, some of these schools would kill to have him.
Is it Colby Wyatt?
Might be. Is it DN?
Yeah.
Oh.
Big old dude, 91.
Hey, he looks
yeah.
good.
I spotted him last year. I said, man, how'd they sneak this kid in? Yeah,
hey.
I think if it's the same kid I'm talking about, he was out of Shiloh, did not get really recruited.
Looks good.
But,
looks
yeah,
good.
Looks like he fits in perfectly.
And this is not a just show to be a carte blanche for Georgia and everything, but I know this. I've been around here 20 years, maybe. I was 95, maybe that's a lot longer than that. But I haven't seen many guys on the hoof that look like this, as many of them.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. We got a good-looking team on the hoof.
All right, we got a few questions rolling in. I definitely want to get into some of those today. A lot of people asking about Trevon Walker. Matt Todman says, does Auburn offering Trevon Walker a chance to be a two-sport athlete kind of show their hand in recruiting? Seems like they tell recruits what they want to hear. A couple other people said, we really need Trevon Walker. You got to land Trevon Walker. I've said all along.
What else does he do? Is he track?
He's a basketball player also. Oh. Now, he can throw some shot, too, and he's quite good at it. But he's a very tremendous basketball player as well. And you know, but I think that when you get into collegiate strength and training, that may be a little harder to pull off. You know, he's a D lineman. He's going to have to bulk up. You know, he's inevitably going to put some weight on. So who knows how that'll impact things. I think that, and I've said from the beginning, I think Trevon Walker is one of the more likely players to commit to Georgia. I think that that's been the case for some time. I think that, you know, early on that was always the case. He's got some great insight into the program thanks to an old teammate in David Marshall who played with him at Upson
right.
Lee. So I think that, you know, Trevon Walker, he's definitely a need. He's also not a guy that I'm too worried about Georgia landing at this point. I think that he's going to continue his process. He's going to enjoy things. And when all is said and done, well,
like
I like Georgia.
What, the end of the summer, are you going to commit or when?
I don't know that he's even set a firm date. If he has, it's escaping me right at this moment. So apologies if I'm totally
talking about D lineman. Just help me out here. How about that kid that Dale McGee's recruiting, that D lineman over there that says he's going to commit pretty quick, 2020 guy?
Oh, okay. You're going to have to give me a second on this one.
Is he from someplace in Atlanta?
Hillgrove? Not Miles Murphy.
No, that's another kid.
Let's see. Miles, there's Andy Boykin that he's working on hard. I know who you're talking about, too. Geez.
Same school where that kid went to Florida State. His dad is a coach or something. The quarterback that went there.
We'll have to come back to it.
You just had a good story about him that he really liked Coach McGee and Coach Scott and everything, and he's going to commit in August or something. D lineman. 2020.
Yeah, I'll have to look back. I'll have to look back on it.
That's the first time we ever stumped
the Schwab. Yeah. I'm just getting back from vacation. I've only been back on the clock about 4 hours.
You were
now.
In Maine, too.
They don't play much ball up in Maine. Ab Harding says, weren't we supposed to get the nation's number two JUCO cornerback DJ Daniels I got you.
I got him to bring pictures.
Yeah, that's you can do it with that.
All right.
DJ Daniels out of Georgia Military College. We touched on him, I think, the last show before we had our break there. Definitely a guy to keep your eye on. Continue to watch him. I think that he's a major target for Georgia. Really likes what the Bulldogs have to offer. Took his official visit, but you got to think that this is a kid. Some people thought he would commit. I think it's different for these JUCO guys because in some of these cases, and in his case, I mean, he told us it was a grades thing coming out of high school. So he didn't get the experience of being recruited. It wasn't like he, had guys knocking his door down. It's a cool thing for him to get to see. It's neat for him to get to experience. But, again, another guy that I feel confident.
Would he come
Georgia
in semester or what?
He would. Yeah, he is. He's a December guy by all accounts, I believe. Ab Harding says Adam McEachern High School. Jamil Burrows is the guy you're talking about. Yeah,
at least I knew the school.
Yeah, yeah, that was impressive. That was Hockman.
I like the fact that the kid were right there though. Right, he's a good looking kid.
Oh, he's tremendous. Yeah, absolutely. And
tell
you've
us
already
about
got,
how big he is.
Yeah, I mean you've already got as well. I want to make sure I get accurate numbers on everybody, but you've already got
who
for that
cares? 20... They believe anything you say. No, hey, let's get accurate.
For that 2020 class though. Don't forget, you've already got a defensive tackle commit in Nazir Stackhouse out of Stevenson High School. So one of the top-rated guys. Yeah, Jamil Burrows, 6'3", 320 right now. Holds offers from the likes of Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Kentucky, you name it pretty much, Oregon, Florida, Ohio State. He's got them all. And
we're leading the pack, too.
Yeah, and I think with Dell McGee getting out there, they've made some strides out there at McEachern. I think having a guy like Tyler Simmons in this program from that school, also a big boost to them. So that's
definitely
going to
help. You go back to the initial staff. When Kirby hired his staff here, I knew when he was able to get McGee to come here that was going to be huge because of his entree to all the high school coaches, along with Kirby having his dad being a coach. But that's critical to, from the standpoint of this guy can walk in anywhere. He was a good player at Auburn. He had some success down there at Georgia Southern. And you just look at some of the guys. I mean, you can talk about the backs he's recruited, but, hey, he's a lead dog on Justin Fields.
Absolutely.
Now. And he's a lead guy over there in Atlanta. You put a guy over there that can really do the job. He got the kid that hurt his knee, the defensive end that was coming in, Ola Georgia.
Aziz Ojulari. Yeah, he was definitely leading the pack there,
and
too.
And he's got his brother coming, too, I hope.
You've got –
So, I mean, Dale is just the kind of guy that you'd like to play for, but also you can really relate to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a guy behind the scenes. Doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, for being part of the – savvy part of coaching too. He really is a good on the field coach.
Absolutely. And in that regard, I think, I mean, That's the lottery. That's the jackpot. To find a guy who's as good of an on-field coach as that, but also has this kind of recruiting chops, to step outside of the running back position and get after quarterbacks, D linemen, outside linebacker, doesn't matter.
Right.
The guy just makes connections and kids love him, and that pays off huge dividends. Definitely want to give a couple shout outs to some of our sponsors. Break this one up a little bit. Get out to Academia. Like I said, they're doing a lot of stuff for the World Cup coming up. They got Noctua Chaos back on tap. It's a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. And spent some months in some Buffalo Trace barrels. Sounds delicious. I'm always down for a little marriage. I normally have my whiskey and my beer separate, but at the same time, the mix is good, too. I'm good with that. They also said got some specials going on for World Cup. On match days, they're opening at 10 a.m., and so you can get in there early for the 10 and the 2 games, and each game is going to have some special things. Two big group stage matches Wednesday, that's tomorrow, talking tacos and bacon-wrapped brats in honor of Mexico and Germany playing. So if I didn't have to be down at the five-star challenge, you know where you could find me. You got some live music Thursday and Friday. Joe Cat playing on Thursday. The Pierre is on Friday. And also, little programming note, get out and see us July 7th. That's going to be the July 2nd.
We're going to be do a show out there?
We are. We're going to do our 4th of July week show out there on a Monday. So make sure and get out there July 2nd. Come see us. Actually, that'll be next Monday. So get out.
Hey,
and
thanks for the warning, man. I would have been over here on Tuesday. It would have been me and Dave over
see,
here.
See, you're getting scooped that even Coach doesn't have right now. But, yeah, get out next Monday. Come have a beer with us at Academia. We'd love to see you out, and I know they would too. And so make sure you go out, support those guys. They've always got some interesting things going on out there. Coach, something I wanted to touch on with you real quick, something that just happened to come across the Twitter as I was getting ready for the show today. Notice that Athlon's come out with their preseason All-Americans predicting where guys are going to land. Georgia tweeted it out. Third team, Rodrigo Blankenship at kicker. Third team, Andrew Thomas on O-line. You got second team defensive back, DeAndre Walker. Second team punt returner, Mecole Hardman.
DeAndre Baker, right?
Yes, DeAndre Baker. Second team punt returner, Mecole Hardman, and second team all-purpose back, DeAndre Swift. I thought that was real good news for Swift, for them to be predicting that. Shows you everybody was paying attention to what he did last year for sure.
Especially with all the backs around the country.
Oh, absolutely. There was one I took issue with, and that was Andrew Thomas at third team. I'm not saying I know better than these guys. I just think that he's going to have a pretty seamless transition
left. He really is. But here's the problem. He didn't make a lot because he was a freshman last year. He didn't make a lot of teams, you know, as far as All-American, you know, stuff like that, all-freshman teams and all that. But you got so many big linemen in the league. You got Jonah Williams. You got these guys at Alabama. And I don't know, but, hey, he's among the top 10 linemen in the country, in my opinion, without question.
I agree. I think that he proved that last year. And like I said, for me, the big hinge is, you know, how will that transition go over to left? And I think if it goes as smoothly as we think it will, should be fine. I think that he's got
a he's already done it pretty well. I mean, watch him in the spring game. He was just he's got the knowledge to go with the footwork and the just got a great temperament for being. You know, you got to have amnesia as an offensive lineman. A guy beats you on a play, and I'm not saying that that's the reason he does it, but I mean, if all of a sudden you get beaten by a guy and then you start worrying about it and start thinking about it and then you get beat again, you got to go on to the next play. I mean, it's one play at a time, and just understand that down and distance sometimes has something to do with it. The guy's not worrying about run, he's just doing a power rush and gets by you. So, but this guy is had about as good a year as you could have when we really needed it with the young lineman coming through like he did.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, you got guys like Gaillard who is going to continue to make improvement, and that's always good to see these guys. You know, you have a tendency to think, well, you know, hey, they kind of hit hit their peak because they were starters, but these guys can still get better. And what we used to do in evaluating our team is compare our team to the rest of the league. You know, could this guy start for the best teams? And that's what you got to have if you're going to beat, when we were here, Florida and Tennessee. You know, you got to have guys that are comparable to that. And that's what you're – it's not, hey, how does he stack up to being a starter for Georgia? But, you know, right now our team's starting to look like guys that can play for everybody else, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I I'm glad you said that, because one of the things that stood out to me kind of early on when I started this job, I'll never forget, was the Georgia-Alabama game the last time in Athens when it was raining so hard. I think that was 15? Was that 15?
Yeah.
Being out there, I remember them in warm-ups coming out, and it was – I mean, it was not comparable. You knew kind of from the get-go that those guys were significantly larger and that Georgia guys were going to have a hard time containing them. That's no longer the case. You saw that in the national championship. Lloyd Dixon here.
Switzer used to find out where our locker room was on the road games and want to find out where we warmed up, you know, because a lot of times you just run out of your locker room and you go right out to the one area. But he was big on, regardless where we were, he wanted to make sure our team was told to run around the other team so they could look at us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, absolutely. First off the bus, it's a sure thing. Harding says Jordan Davis looks like he's in great shape. Talk about a first off the bus guy. Saw him throw down a dunk at Camp Sunshine. Go find that video if you can.
Yeah, I like Jordan Davis. We talked about him in our shows back in during recruiting when he was here visiting along with Channing Tindall, and he really is to be as big as he is. Doesn't have a lot of baby type issues there, you know, as far as being
he's not soft,
he's gonna be thick.
Yeah.
And this summer camp's gonna really help him and get him ready to go. And the other thing that helps all of these freshmen is the rule, which we haven't talked about, that came out where you can play four games now and still, you know, still be redshirted. So a guy like Devod Wilson now, who has an injury and is not ready to go early on, might be able to go later and help us with depth. And, you know, so what? You know, give him a shot if he's physically ready. But there's another kid that's working his behind out. I mean, that kid's over there all the time. He's way ahead of schedule, but I don't know if he'll be ready. He have an ACL, but good kid from Miami. I'm telling you now, I'm really glad that we got him. I think Webb, Devod Wilson, Campbell, I mean, these are guys that are going to really be good for us as corners.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, it's an inexact science, as everybody knows, the recruiting game. I think out of that group of the three guys you just mentioned, I think you're going to find a star. Yeah, I really do. I think that you're going to have one guy who's a true impact maker, if not two or three.
Right.
I mean, but I do think that you're going to have some guys who get in there and make some noise.
Well, you know, when you got guys like Reese back there at safety that can reach down and scratch his ankles, arm-wise, and then you got Tyson Campbell, you know, I think, has he even turned 18 yet?
He's definitely not very far away if he has.
I mean, this guy, when he accelerates off the break, I don't want to put any pressure on him, but I'm telling you, looks like champ from that standpoint. You know, can really hit it. But, you know, you got to get all this stuff down. And I just really am impressed with the the other kid's a little small, but he's going to help us too. Well, the other defensive back, what's his name, Smith?
Chris Smith, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think for what he may, you know, you're talking about those guys, Tyson Campbell, Devod Wilson, Mark Webb, kind of athletic freaks, in my opinion. Chris Smith, not as much of a freak, but what he lacks in that department, he makes up for in technique and talent. I think that he's a very smart corner. He's not a guy who's going to get beat on very much. I think that he is going to be able to get out there and hold his own with anybody in this league. I really do believe that.
And if you look at the guys that we have, that the improvement they've made from last year to this year, William Poole, Stokes, McKee, I mean, these guys – have had a whole year of system of learning technique and getting better on their turnovers, as far as flopping their hips and breaking on the ball and learning how to tackle and all that. These are going to be good special teams guys that can really help us. And then, but, you know, part of the deal here is to try to just evolve and tell our fans about what's going on. But I think the thing about our secondary played smart last year. It wasn't quite as athletic as it's getting ready to be. Now, these athletes that we got are going to have to play smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speed is coming along, too. I forgot to mention him. He looks good. We'll just have to see what happens with Bishop as far as his situation.
Sure.
And Gibbs. Gibbs got a good attitude out there, and hopefully he's got a, if he gets a second chance, he's going to take advantage of it. But that's a lot of good names for a secondary right now.
That's not bad.
I didn't even mention J.R. Reed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. Or Richard LeCount,
right.
I mean, who's long expected to be a leader. Yeah. Speaking of leading, Athens Ford leading the pack when it comes to car dealerships here in Athens, Georgia. Make sure you get out there and see them. They've got a great 4th of July special going on right now, 0% APR for 60 months, $2,000 bonus cash. That's plus. Plus, if you're a military or first responder, $1,000 bonus cash on top of everything.
Wow.
So get out there. You know, they're supporting the people who support the dogs and big dog fans themselves. $14,000 for a brand new 2018 Focus. You're going to save $7,000 on that with all the manufacturer rebates and their discount. $19,000, $18,999 for 2018 Fusion. The Escape is $18,499 at this point. The MSRP on that is $24,845. So that's almost a savings of $6,500. Get out there. They've got the lifetime powertrain warranty. They're huge Georgia fans, Georgia grads. They support the team. They support us.
It.
And make sure you tell them that we sent you. They'd love to see you out there, and we'd love to get some good feedback from them, as always. So big shout-out to those guys. One of the big questions a lot of people have that's popping up quite a bit here, Demetrius Robertson, a name that has suddenly re-hit the market. If you've been following the Georgia program for the last 3 years, you're probably familiar with Demetrius, a guy whose recruitment we covered extensively. I feel like I chased the kid all over the state. I saw him play basketball. I saw him run track. I saw him paint. I've seen the kid do everything. I felt like I watched him grow up. D-Rob deciding to transfer from Cal. From what we've heard, all indications are at this point that they have not granted a release at this point, but it seems like something that's coming down the pike. It's obviously something he wants, and a lot of people are saying, hey, Georgia needs to get in there. Whether or not the Bulldogs are able to land him, you got to think they're going to be interested. This is a former five-star athlete, a kid with all the speed in the world, great route running
right
ability.
Down to the wire with him. And I think the thing that everybody needs to understand is, without a release, now the new rules coming into effect in October, where once a guy says he's going to transfer, then he's, you know, anybody can go after him and talk to him and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rule is now that you can't really talk to anybody or the representatives without the release from the school. So we haven't seen that release yet. It's probably coming. But the other thing is, unless it's a major hardship, you know, because of illness or something, he would have to sit a year, being a one-year transfer like that. So who knows that? But, you know, he could get a hardship. He did get a red shirt this year, a medical mm-hmm. red shirt, so he would have 3 years to play. But if he transfers and doesn't get a hardship on the families, then, he would only have 2 years left. But let me just say this. Anybody's asking, are we doing anything on them? That's a rhetorical question. Because we'll do anything within the rules to be involved with him. And I'm sure as soon as they get the green light, that's what will happen. But we're laying in there low, ready to go. And
I
like our chances. But I also know his position coach at Cal is now the receiver coach at Ole Miss, and his coordinator is the coordinator for West Virginia. So, both of those guys left when Dykes left. What's the guy's name at West Virginia? Used to be at Texas A&M.
But he
was out there. So they actually had a new coach here this last year. The guy that was a Tennessee coordinator is now the head coach out there. And, you know, I don't know what happened with, you know, the kid got hurt and all that, but can't blame him for wanting to come back home. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, Georgia would be crazy not to check in on him. You know they're going to. I mean, they're going to do everything within the rules, like you said, to get involved with a kid like that. Look, they did everything within the rules the first time he was ready. They know what a special player he is. D-Rob is a kid that I remember watching. He was a top 10 player in the nation. Going against guys like Mecole Hardman, you know, he's got some length on Mecole, definitely.
Exactly.
But, you know, those
good
two
track guy
those
too.
Two would cover each other and go back and forth, and it was just a blast to watch. He would be a huge addition to the team. I do like Georgia's chances, as you said, if they get involved and if things get going.
How about if you had a class with Hazelwood and him and Blaylock?
That'd be all right. That'd be all right. And make sure, by the way, that you get over another name that I think that people definitely need to be watching on is Makiah Tung. He's a guy who Georgia's liking in this 2019 class at that receiver position. Trent Smallwood had an incredible update with him father last week.
Where's he from?
Very, very good. He's actually playing his ball in Baton Rouge, but he hasn't picked up an offer from LSU, but originally from Seattle, Washington. So doesn't have all that, you know, some of that that hometown pressure that those Louisiana kids get a lot to get that LSU offer. He likes the opportunity to play wide receiver at Georgia. Some people think that he could be an outside linebacker. Some people think he could be a defensive back. I know Kirby loves those versatile guys who can help you anywhere all over the field, like a John Reese Plumlee, like I was talking about with him earlier. You know, I think that Tung is definitely a guy to be watching out for in this class. And if you were able to land the three of them, maybe get D-Rob to come in too, hey, that's going to stack up with about anybody in the nation, I would say.
Stack them up like cordwood.
That's man. Right. That's right. Speaking of stacking them up, get over to Your Pie, stack them up with them. Get you a big stack of their pizza boxes because they got some of the best in town. They're going to fresh make everything right in front of you. They're going to throw it in the wood fire or in the big ovens. Get it cooked up for you. They got sandwiches. They got pizza. They got cheese sticks, which I'm a huge fan of. It's hard to get a good cheese stick in this town. I don't know why, but they've got some of the best in town. And, hey, you don't even have to be in Athens to go see the guys at Your Pie. They're all across the Southeast, expanding all across the country. Definitely, definitely go give them a check. We want to thank them, definitely, as I said, for shouting us out and being with us. I mentioned Plumlee a second ago talking about D-Rob, and this is something that I wanted to talk to you about. You know, he's Georgia liking him at the quarterback position. That's what they're bringing him in to do. Auburn liked him at defensive back and was recruiting him there. Ole Miss, his in-state school, liked him at slot receiver. Your thoughts on these guys and these multifaceted guys? How important is that? And especially, you know, for a guy who, you know, he might get – it's possible to – in this quarterback fray, it's going to be tough to win out. I mean, it's definitely going to be a tough sledding for him.
Well, if you look – just look at at all the 219 guys that have gone other places, you know, that had a shot to come here that we offered. It's definitely – the handwriting's on the wall with the two guys we got, so it's hard to make that decision. But you get a guy like this that can play another position that gives you good depth but also has ability to help you in other ways – then that's a good fit. You know, he understands his role. He can come in here, maybe sit out a year if you know, who says that he might or might not do that. But I think it also really strengthens our 2020 recruiting because we don't have a, you know, nothing against Plumlee. I think he's a good quarterback, and I talked him up good there. But you don't have a highly rated five-star guy like we've had Eason in the row with Fromm and then Fields. So now a guy like Max Johnson, there's some separation between those guys, and we got to get him he's just a difference maker guy, but you know it's still 2 years away. But I think it helps you on the long run having a guy like Plumlee fills the need to help our team, but he also helps our recruiting as far as not an overwhelming, you know. Five-star guy there that's in between him and another quarterback, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a huge boost in that regard. And the 2020 class, look, say what you want about 2019's quarterback recruiting, it's really just not that strong. It's not as strong as it has been in the past couple of years. 2019 overall, I think, is a down class just across the nation. 2020, on the flip side, loaded. several great quarterback targets, some really highly rated guys there, great running backs in that class, and I think overall it's a win-win. I think that it's going to be a good class for Georgia, and it's a good class overall for them to make some headway in. And
well,
5 years
separation. Ago, we could be sitting in here, and this place wasn't open, but I mean, we could just pretend that there was. We could say, how many people would be thinking about 2 years down the road and recruiting? You're just talking about the freshman getting ready
absolutely.
To report. But now, I mean, all of a sudden the guy commits on the 2020 guy, and people ready to slit their throats. You know? But I would say this about right now. You know, we got 2 months here before the first game, and I'm just telling you, I can't wait to see how it's going to all pan out, because a lot of things got to happen. But with our schedule and our team, I think, and I told you this last year when we started this show, when I was invited to be on it, I said, this is going to be a good year for Georgia, but if you're going to get some in Georgia, you better get it now.
That's right.
And right now, they had their chance to get us, and Alabama did there at the end, but Katie barred the door.
We got a couple more questions rolling in. Alan Verbonic wants to know wants to know about LeJon Kavosis. Got a couple of questions about him. People are wondering,
can you spell
what
name?
He's going to do. It's L-E-J-O-N-D, so it's like legend. Kavosos is C-A-V-A-S-Z-O-S.
He's close to committing, isn't he?
He is. He's actually committing tomorrow. At the five-star challenge.
Who's it between? It's
going to end up being, it sounds like, between Georgia and Ohio State. He's camped at both recently. I think that.
Give us a rundown on him here for everybody out there.
Yeah, sure.
I messed you up asking how to spell him.
No, you're good. Kavosos is a Rivals 250 guy already for the class of 2020. I think he's 101 in the nation. I'll get it pulled up here in 1 second. 101. 6'2", 192, big defensive back, four-star. He's playing his ball at IMG Academy. Has all the ties, obviously, to those guys. And, worked out at Clemson recently, worked out at Ohio State, worked out at Georgia. Everybody likes what they see. Everybody's got wants a big piece of this guy.
He's 2020, eh?
2020, yeah. Getting this one out of the way early.
He's going to make a move over there Thursday?
Tomorrow, actually. I believe 6 or 7 o'clock is when it's supposed to go down. But I will say I'm giving Ohio State the edge right now. I think Georgia would love to get him, and I think that they'll continue to recruit him. 2020 is a long way away, signing day. You know that. Don't get too worked up just yet. However, I do think that he's probably headed to Ohio State. That would be a big pickup for them. Let's see. A couple more things to hit on. Go through my questions here. We talked about Trevon Walker. We talked about LeJon. Oh, Conrad Hill here. Interesting question for you, Coach. As you've had a chance to see some of these guys physically, see kind of where they are in that regard this year. I know who I would pick, and I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but I think that this is a little different phrasing than we normally get. Conrad Hill asks, aside from Mecole and Godwin, do you see any other wide receivers on the roster emerging as a big play threat this year? A guy who can maybe break one open.
Well, obviously Swift can do it, and then we can put Cook in a slot, too, that's going to be just overwhelming. There's a lot of speed out there. I think Tommy Bush really looks good on the hoof from a standpoint of size, a lot like Wims, you know, and I don't know how good he can react to the ball because I haven't seen him catch any passes.
Right.
But it's a good to have him in here, but there's got to be somebody that you're going to say who is.
Well, I think that another guy to consider if you're talking about those big game breakers with the speed, and it's a guy that you've been waiting on and waiting on to see when will he kind of capitalize on this, and that's Tyler Simmons. He's a track guy with a ton of speed.
You got Simmons and Holloman.
Absolutely. Landers is another
Landers
one.
Landers, and they're all athletic, and we're running a lot of 3-by-1 formations where you got three wides, and But our tight end situation is just stronger than three rows of wild onions. I mean, you got Nauta and Werner. Werner caught three passes in the Rose Bowl in the first quarter.
I mean,
you got Werner, and then you got Luke Ford. I mean, look at it like this. You got Luke Ford, number one tight end in the country, White, the number one back in the country, the top two linemen and three of the top three linemen and Sayer, Hill, and Mays. Come on, man.
Yeah. No,
and
these
then
are...
those defensive guys. But I think our wide receiver core is really good. People don't realize how good Terry Godwin is. I mean, I think he's got a really good shot of being a feature guy. And, you know, the way our schedule sets up, you're going to see a lot of points here, I think. Just going to be hard for these – there'll be some mismatches out there with some of these defensive backs on our guys.
Completely agreed. Completely agreed. A couple last things rolling in here. Somebody says Ab Harding, he wants to know, who are our options at running back for the 2019 class? I mean, obviously, I think Trey Sanders is the top name on the board.
Is he the one that's got the brother at Florida?
Yeah, yeah. And so that's going to be, I think, very tough to beat that out. But the other guys past that, Noah Cain was in town recently. I'd definitely be watching him. He's another guy from IMG Academy. You got John Emery out of Destrehan in Louisiana. I think that he's one of the better backs in this class.
Yeah, you told me you thought we had a good shot at Emery.
Yeah, and I think that he would be a great pickup. I think that he's maybe even a little bit underrated, even as a 250 guy. Runs with such power, great one-cut guy, gets up the field so fast.
There's another good situation there, too, from a national perspective, having a guy like Dale McGee being the running back coach, but he's built up a resume of coaching and recruiting these guys, and you look at the guys that are coming out of here, and it gets your attention, you know, and all of a sudden you got White and Cook coming in here on top of these other guys that just left. I would say we'll do really good on a two-night. We might not get as many, but we need to get one of them, and I think we will.
Yeah, and somebody asked on the board earlier today, do you see Georgia just taking – or do you see Georgia taking two backs in this class? I really think it'd have to be the right combination of guys, and I think with Cook and Zeus in this past class, you could create a situation like you were saying with Plumlee this year. You take one guy, and that creates a little bit of separation from some of those big names. Then all of a sudden, 2020, as I mentioned, a loaded class.
Very good guys
already high on Georgia at that running back position. So Jarvis Hanna here with our last one.
And one thing – everybody just got to remember this. Todd Gurley Memorial drink today is dedicated to Zeus, because you talk about somebody that makes your mouth water. You talk about a guy that can absolutely explode and run like the Russians are in St. Louis. Hey, that guy's playing for Georgia.
Woo!
I mean, come on, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I got to temper my enthusiasm. I know I've been a little bit overboard here, but, I mean, I'm have a tendency to be really low-key, but just – that guy there now.
Hey, they might get – a guy like that might be enough to lure you back into the game.
Ooh, no. No, I'm not I like just being on the sideline, but I do feel good about his rehab. And you got a lot of competition there, because, you know, Holyfield and Herring had a good chance in the spring to really get their legs under them and run a lot of snaps. And they're very dependable. And you're going to see some of these games where these guys, every snap counts because they're not getting to play that much. You know, we had a lot of games. Last year, Chubb ran 20, was in the game 27 snaps. You know, I mean, so you don't play quite that much, so you make them all count. But I'm fired up about Zeus now.
One last one here. We'll finish things out on this one. This is from our friend Jarvis Hanna. He says, do you see anybody on offense that can be a Fred Gibson or Ben Watson type, or anybody on defense that could be a Richard Seymour or Jarvis Jones type? And I guess to make recent comparisons, you know, maybe a guy out of the wide receiver core or in the passing game. You know, we touched on Godwin, Mecole Hardman. I think Mecole, for my money, he's the guy who's really going to bust through the ceiling this year.
Yeah, guy scored two touchdowns in the national championship game. We got a good package for him out of the Wildcat. We didn't use a lot of screens last year, bubbles and stuff like that, because we ended up on the RPOs running the ball more than we did passing, because our backs were so good and the line dominated. But I think he can do that very, very much. And I think Devontae Walker is that kind of player on defense that just can have a coming out party, you know, a lot of times, because he can make things happen. I like Cox maybe being a situational guy that could come in there and rush the passer off the edge. And, you know, seriously, Adamson and Cox in the same class.
Yeah.
When they have that day, what don't they have a day when they go sign, everybody signs autographs and everything?
They have something like that. I know it's been a little bit tempered down in the last couple years.
I don't know if they have an open deal or something, but there'll be a lot of people. Get in line pretty good to see those two.
Get
guys.
In line for those guys. You'll want that autograph down the line. Yeah, I guarantee
and,
it.
And then Quay Walker and Reese and Tindall. Come on, man. Name those five guys on defense again. And you add Campbell to it. Those six guys, I mean, whew.
It was a haul. The one guy also that I would point to personally on defense, I think Monty Rice has a good chance to burst onto the scene this year. Saw what Roquan did last year, studied under him, plays a very similar game, not quite as fast, but nobody's, you know, that there's a reason that guy's a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Monty Rice has a lot of those same tools.
Yeah, I like Monty's demeanor too. He really accepts his role, and you know, to have leadership, you got to have followership.
That's
you got to
right.
have guys that want to listen to you, and you know, you develop it. You know, you develop leadership based on the way you play, the way you act, the way you work out, and all that. Monty is just a natural guy, a lot like Fromm. From a standpoint, kids are going to gravitate to him because they know he's going to give you 100% every play. He's going to do play as good as he might not be as physically gifted as Roquan, but not many people are.
That's
but,
right.
But Monty is really good about that. And then, you know, I've been glad to see Natres come back and just keep his plate clean and doing what he's supposed to do too.
And talk about a guy who has something to prove,
right?
This year
and
to everybody,
he's doing a really good job of that. And a lot of times that can be leadership too, because a guy can say, "Look, hey." Coach Smart has stood up for me. I'm not going to let him down. I don't want any of you to let him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's doing some good things out there. But I would say one of the highlights of the show today is Hayes.
Yeah, the Hayes days are upon us.
What's his first name?
Jay.
Jay Hayes, number 97, isn't he?
I believe that is correct.
Number 97 in your program, number one in your heart.
That sounds like us as well. So we want to wrap it up for today. Thank you so much to Champions Chicken for allowing us to come in and crash every Tuesday. We won't be here next Tuesday. We'll be out at Academia on Monday at noon. So get out there, have a cold beer with us.
You got to remind me of that, man.
I definitely will. Academia, shout out to them as always. Go by, see them for the World Cup. They got some great specials going on. Our friends at Your Pie, they're always killing it. You know our buddies at Athens Ford. Got some great specials running up until the 4th. UGA or Game Day 365. You got Cable East and 11 Alive for being on the page. We'll be back next week, next Monday. Look for us at noon here on 11 Alive Facebook page. Thank you so much for tuning in.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.